Eric Kebschel, a 25-year-old from McKinney, Texas, Connecticut native, wrote an op-ed piece about why he left Connecticut twice. Now, Kebschel obviously is a millennial. He went to school, in fact, graduated from East Windsor High School, attended the University of Connecticut in West Hartford as a commuter student, and in a nutshell, he said, in the words of Bill Clinton, the reason he moved out of the state is because of, it's the economy, stupid. That said, we're joined by a millennial who is also a small business owner and a state senator from the 33rd District, Art Linares. Senator, welcome to Front and Center.
Hey, thanks for having me. It's an honor to be on.
So, Art, what do you make of this op-ed piece by Eric Kebschel?
I think Eric is right. It is the economy, stupid. And you know, it's the term James Carville coined during President Bill Clinton's election. You cannot expect millennials to move anywhere unless there are jobs and good jobs. Talent will be attracted to opportunity. And we have to do a better job in this state of making more opportunities for millennials, creating more jobs in this state, being attractive to businesses and innovative businesses. That will bring millennials back. That'll keep them here. And there's not a focus on that right now.
Okay, let's look, because I've been focusing on this recently, at the manufacturing sector here in the state of Connecticut, where I have owners of factories saying that they have well-paying jobs that are going unfilled. Now, these are jobs which would be perfect for millennials. Why is that?
So in the case of job opportunities that exist today being unfilled, I think that we as a state have to do a better job of providing the kind of training and technical training needed to fill those roles. It's something that I focused on in the legislature with apprenticeship tax credits for businesses so that they can get a tax credit for training students to move into these roles. So that is definitely an opportunity. There's no reason that, you know, in my mind, if there's a job available in Connecticut, that job should be filled. I mean, 100% we should fill that role. That should be our first focus, and I agree with those manufacturers. We have to do a better job of training students to take on those opportunities. And so, you know, there's ways we can do that. But secondly, surrounding those opportunities, what does the environment look like for a millennial to live here? You have the cost of rent is very high. The cost to own a home is very high in this state. And so we have to work on that as well. The cost of everything in Connecticut is high. And, you know, if we can improve our economy, if we can work on, you know, having attractive prices of living in this state, I think we can attract millennials. And I'm 27 years old. I experienced many of the same issues that these millennials are facing. And in my case, I started a solar company about 8 years ago, and the majority of folks that work for my business, we have 80 people working here, are millennials. They're attracted to being part of a growing solar energy company. This is the kind of business that they want to work for and are excited about. We pay our millennials, all of our employees well. They have great benefits, and it's an exciting place to work. And so, you know, I think it's a combination of having the kind of businesses in Connecticut that millennials want to work for, and, you know, also as a state, we have to drive down the cost of living.
So how do we do that? I mean, there's always, in generalities, the conversation of we have to make it less expensive in order to live in Connecticut. How do you do that when, for example, the government has, this time around, because of its budgetary problems, attempted to cut the budget, and the hue and cry from the public, particularly certain sectors, has been enormous. So how do we do this?
Yeah, but, you know, it's not entirely accurate. So What they're doing is they're cutting services to DDS. They're cutting social services that, quite honestly, it's really sad that they're really cutting from people that need it the most. But what they're not doing is they're not negotiating with the unions. It's not something that's happening. The God's honest truth is that there's a sacred cow in the Connecticut legislature, and that is the state unions, and they're not coming to the table to do their part. And so, you know, times change. We've reached a breaking point where it's not possible to live up to what the unions want in this state to tax wealthy more because the wealthy are leaving. So what the unions need to do is come to the table and agree to a defined contribution plan so that they can pay into their retirements. We need to make Connecticut more friendly for businesses to grow and work. I think you'll probably notice there's a new overtime law. I just got an news update on this, a new overtime law being regulated in Connecticut now. And so,
but Art, that's a federal law. That's a federal law. That's going to take.
There's thousands and there's hundreds of regulations that have been passed, and every year, the unions get one new regulation, one new bill that helps them. And instead of us as a state saying, okay, how do we make Connecticut more attractive? They're refusing to come to the table. So I really think that that's part of it. I think getting serious about education, having, you know, school choice, getting serious about making sure that we're not constantly battling, decoupling teacher evaluation from test scores is another issue, that unions are constantly pushing. So I think once unions come to the table, we'll see the kind of growth that we've seen in Wisconsin, that we've seen in Florida, that we've seen in the Carolinas, where, you know, in Florida, the governor reduced regulations, reduced corporate taxes, and they've had a million new jobs. In Wisconsin, the state has saved $5 billion since they implemented being a right-to-work state, and they're giving good teachers bonuses. So in Connecticut, that's not happening, and we have to do a better job of making the state more business-friendly. So that is the bold truth, and until we have that, we're going to continue having cyclical deficits.
Can the state do something dramatic like eliminating the state income tax?
I think you can phase it out. I think we can certainly make a move to phase out the income tax. I think you can make a move, and here's what I think we should do. We should have a ratchet down program in the state where anytime we have a surplus, the money should be used towards lowering the corporate tax and the income tax. So every time we have a surplus in our budget, automatically there's a tax reduction, and that will allow for economic growth. Companies and business owners will tell me it's hard to leave America. It's easy to leave Connecticut. And one of the reasons why we have a lot of companies leaving, aside from our attitude in the state, has also a lot to do with the estate tax. So, you know, every year people are leaving. They're moving to Florida, to our, you know, the Carolinas, to dodge the estate tax. We're one of only 16 states that requires an estate tax. And so what we need to do is phase out the estate tax. We should say to wealthy families and business owners, because if you own a business and you try to pass that business down to your son or daughter so that they can run it in Connecticut, they have to get taxed on that business, or a farm. And a lot of times the son or daughter cannot continue to run it because of the new taxes. And so what we need to do is say, if you're going to keep your business in Connecticut, or if you want to invest in Connecticut or invest in our nonprofits, then you don't have to pay an estate tax. Those are ways we can phase out these burdensome taxes. And as far as income tax, I think you ratchet it down. Every time we have a surplus, you ratchet down the taxes. That's a responsible way to phase it out. And then as far as getting there, our government is way too big. Our government is way too large. We have programs that we don't need. We should be looking to to entertain public-private partnerships to reduce the amount of state employees we have. We have thousands of state employees, and I think the largest employer in the state now is the state. We have to grow private enterprise, ratchet down the amount of people we have working, the overhead at our state, and grow our economy. It's very simple. You know, Reagan said there are simple answers. They just aren't the easy ones. These are tough things to do, but they have to be done, because every year we don't do it, things get harder and harder.
Well, isn't that what the governor's attempting to do with some of these state-run group homes, turn them over to nonprofit organizations?
Yeah, it's an attempt. I'm glad that there are things that the governor has recently started to do to make these changes, but it's a little bit too late on his end, and it's not enough happening. These have to be big, bold moves. That's certainly one way to reduce costs. I know that these group homes can charge a fourth of what union-run shops can charge, and so that's exactly an example. But look at the DMV, for example. That is something that can be entirely ran by a private corporation if you have the right protections, consumer protections in place, so that fees don't get out of control. A business can run that. You look at fraud. You look at fraud in the state of Connecticut. It's estimated that there's somewhere between 300 and 400 million in fraud every year just in the state of Connecticut. And so, that's an area where easily a private company could come in at no cost to the state, find the fraud, stop the fraud, and take a percentage of whatever they find, and then you have immediate savings. So there's a lot of things that we can do to save some money here, to streamline our government, and be more innovative. We want to attract innovative companies. We have to, as a state, be more innovative. And so I think it's easily done. The problem is that the leadership in Hartford is hamstrung by the unions. They can't make decisions without the union's approval. I respect union workers. I have a lot of them in my district, and a lot of them share the frustration that they have with their leadership with me. They don't feel like their union leadership is representing them. They don't feel like they're being represented when it comes to their pensions, when it comes to being willing to take furlough days if they have to save their job. And so, I think we just need to have more courage and talk about this. They come, they spend thousands of dollars in my election every year, and I beat them every time. So they're going to do that again. But ultimately, we need politicians in Hartford that have courage and that will stand up and talk about the bold solutions.
I don't know if you saw the report today. It just came out that Kiplinger ranks Connecticut as the third least tax-friendly state in the country, and it talks about the state income tax, the sales tax, the 38 cents per gallon that the state charges on gasoline. Property taxes are the fourth highest in the nation, and so it goes on and on about Connecticut being the fourth least, or the third least tax-friendly state in the country, Art.
Exactly. It's getting out of control. And, what we need is, we need a flat tax. We need a simple flat tax that, can be competitive to our neighbors to New York, to Massachusetts. Right now we have a bracketed tax system. And so, just recently I know that the Senate Democrats in the past 2 years have proposed a legislation which ultimately pushed General Electric out of the state. Ultimately, you have a tax code that is just constantly looking for more and more revenue. It's constantly reaching and pushing folks out of this state. It's really unfortunate. And, ultimately, it doesn't have to be that way. We can have a simple tax code. As I mentioned, every time there's a surplus, you continue to ratchet it down. That's where businesses are attracted to. That's where people are attracted to live, and millennials in particular have to be attracted here. And let me tell you why. because according to the governor's economic report, by 2025, the folks that are 65 and older, the amount of people 65 and older in the state is going to increase by 45%. The amount of people that are 17 and 65 years of age, the working age, the amount of people in that age category is going to decrease, a projected decrease of 0.1%. And so the dependency ratio is 45%. That compounded with an unfunded liability, which liberally is about $70 billion, and you look at our pensions, which are 45% funded, you have a dramatic liability. And so we have to replenish that workforce. Now, there's been some things done. We passed an entrepreneur's learner's permit, which waives fees for entrepreneurs for the first 2 years. That's a very small improvement, but it's the big things that need to happen. You know, we have to have labor reform in this state. We have to continue our fight for ed reform and massive tax reform. And we need to personally go and recruit growing businesses to have them headquarter here. We have to welcome them to our state. We have to go to local planning and zoning and fight for them to move in. These are the things that are not happening. It's happening in Florida. It's happening in Wisconsin. It's even happening in Massachusetts and Rhode Island. We have to step up to the plate and be more competitive.
Well, this same report, this Kiplinger report, also points out, and I'd be interested in your reaction, being a state senator, the state has more than $83 billion in unfunded pensions. Total liabilities exceed its assets by 34%, and it claims the state's financial pressures are such that it could lead to another raise in taxes. What do you say to that?
So those are very accurate numbers, and I think that we need an actuary that doesn't work for the state to really dive in there and find out what the numbers are, you know, more accurately. But those are pretty accurate. And so I agree with that. We first thing to institute is pension reform. 25% of state employees don't contribute to their pension, and the ones that do contribute 2%. Now that's unheard of in the United States right now. We have to ask our state employees to contribute 8% to their pensions. That's the first thing that needs to happen. We have to refinance our debt, because in 2025 we're going to have a $6 billion bullet payment, which is, you know, our budget is only $20 billion. So we have a $6 billion bullet payment in 2025. So we have to refinance our debt to levelize that payment structure. Now, Comptroller Limbo came out with a plan, which is, you know, unfortunately, it doesn't pencil because it's too union friendly. The governor came out with a plan, and you know, they're afraid to move away from the defined benefit plan. Unfortunately, you have to move away from that. It's not mathematically possible anymore to have a defined benefit plan for state employees. It has to be a defined contribution plan. And so those are the things that we can do to help to levelize some of our issues with our debt. And if we don't do it, we're going to be like Puerto Rico. Now, Puerto Rico thought that, okay, they filed bankruptcy, they go to the federal government and ask them to bail them out. The Fed said, no, we're not going to bail you out, but we will run your government for you. And so, you know, in Connecticut, there's no chance that after that precedent took place with Puerto Rico, that the Feds are going to bail us out. It's not going to happen. We have to handle this problem ourselves. We have to get serious about a defined contribution plan. That will help us get settled in the right direction. That, combined with, you know, exploring being a right-to-work state, exploring, you know, different things to incentivize economic growth in this state, a flat tax, those are the kinds of things that can get us back on track to start paying our bills to have more economic growth. When you have massive unfunded liabilities, you need growth. You need business development to pay down those debts. Just like if you took out a loan for a new mortgage, you have to make money to cover the debt service. It's the same thing as a state with our gross state product. Our gross state product grew at 0.5%. Our neighbors in Massachusetts and New York grew at 2%. We're being beaten competitively. And what we should be doing is looking at ways to be the most competitive state so we can take businesses from Rhode Island, from Massachusetts, and from New York. Rhode Island instituted a defined contribution plan under a Democratic governor. She called it its truth in numbers. She got flack from the unions. She passed it, and they're growing jobs in Rhode Island. We should be doing the same thing here in Connecticut.
Now, if you could wave, as a business owner, if you could wave a magic wand, name three things you would like eliminated or phased out to make the operation of your business as a business owner easier?
Well, first of all, if I could point to ways to make Connecticut more competitive quickly as a business owner, you should get rid of the business entity tax immediately. I have, every 2 years you have to pay a $250 business entity tax. Any business in this state has to pay that. Sometimes they forget and collections comes to try and take it. So immediately you get rid of that paperwork and red tape. I think you need to 100% think about the estate tax, phasing that out. Like I said, if you invest in Connecticut, you don't have to keep paying estate tax. And then regulations in general. I think that the problem with our government is that you have, agency heads that are, that need to be business friendly instead of feeling like you are working against the government. You should be working with the government in ways to incentivize growth. And then as far as the state goes, it's three things. It's ed reform. You have to continue ed reform in the state to improve the quality of our education. 6 out of 10 women in the state graduate without having the skills they need in mathematics to move forward in college. That's unacceptable. Things like that we have to continue to fight to improve, and that's ed reform. Tax reform, as I mentioned, flat tax, ratchet down effect. Surpluses relate to result in tax decreases for everyone. And as I mentioned, labor reform, you have to improve the attractiveness to run a business and work here. Talent should be attracted to Connecticut. So those are some things that I know would result in growth, and I know would result in business owners being more comfortable here.
Art, great job. Anything else you'd like to add before we wrap up our interview?
I just want to say that with all those problems, I'm very optimistic that when making these changes, we can catapult Connecticut right to the top. It can be done. It's not complex. These are simple answers. We just need to focus on them. We need to fight for them. And people out there listening need to elect people that have the courage to fight for bold ideas, that run for office to make changes, not just to have the title. And when we do that, the state will catapult right to the top.
Senator, thanks for spending some time with us today. Enjoy your weekend.
You too. Take care. Bye.
Bye. Senator Art Linares from the 33rd District.